Time to catch up on Kennedy Malloy. And time you checked out the new Series 2 HSV Sports Cap with sport suspension, anti-roll bar and AP racing brakes. Play hard. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Hello, Australia. Welcome to the big Wednesday edition of Kennedy Malloy. Hello, Jane Kennedy.
Hello, Mickey.
Hello, Dangerous Dave.
Hey, Mick. Hey, Jane.
Great to have you both on deck. Here we go. Men are idiots. Haven't done it in a while.
We haven't.
It's time. It's chock-a-block.
There's quite a few things. Dave, stand by. You might be up there, Dangerous.
Never.
Hey, we're going to talk to Jim Halley. He's a chicken shop owner. And KFC slapped the biggest advertising board on the side of his shop saying there was a new KFC opening up the road.
This is not on.
That is not
cool. If you're a fan of the little man.
Yeah, come on.
Let's get all behind
Jim Halley
on this one.
We're going to have a chat to him and see what he says.
Because I love chicken, you know that?
I know, you do.
Is that
chicken, well, you love chicken heiresses as well.
Yeah, that's right.
How are they going?
I don't know.
We'll get to them soon. Hey, there's
maybe
a bit
Jim's
of...
Jim's got a wife.
Well,
next one.
I don't know.
Hey, Nanny State, it's up. It's running. It's full as a gorg.
I wish we didn't have to do it. I wish we didn't have to do Nanny State.
Sydney, you're at it again.
Shockers.
We're on to you. We'll go to Perth. There's plenty going on in that particular department.
Kevin Rudd has made an unusual announcement to the country, and we're going to follow up on that.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll get to the bottom of that. Adam Shand will be talking crime. There's a couple of big stories we want to get to the bottom to. The Canadian murder case intrigues me.
Oh, this is shocking, isn't it?
Where are these two outlaws? What's going
on?
What's
the latest news
on them?
Have they
been eaten by bugs?
Well, my word is, you know, that they're alive and well and a boat has been involved. But I want to follow that up with you. Yeah.
Hokey-dokey. We'll take your calls, we'll take your tweets, we'll do the rounds. It's all coming up on the big program today.
The big Wednesday.
We love it. How are you coping, Dave? It's how many days now without the missus?
It's been, what's today, Wednesday? Oh, it's since Saturday, so yeah.
How are you holding up?
Not really well.
Doesn't sound like it.
What is it? What's the problem? You've got two kids, What's the big drama?
Well, I've got a 15-year-old daughter and a 12-year-old son.
Both useless.
They would be so helpful around the house, wouldn't they?
They are morons. My children are morons.
Okay. Now, what's the one thing you've noticed that...
I got home last night. You know, the animals hadn't been fed, so they're wandering around the house looking for food.
Yeah.
And I asked my daughter,
you've got animals wandering around the house looking for food?
Yes.
Okay, this
sounds
is
very.
I said, have you fed the animals? Oh, I forgot. I said, well, they're right there at your foot.
They're licking your
foot.
Begging
for
seriously,
food.
How hard
they're
is it?
They're opening the fridge door, trying to get something out.
Speaking of dinner, confirm or deny, there's a rumour going around the office that you last night went to cook some pasta, boiled, put the pasta in it, and then you went, you know what? I'll go down the road, pick up the kids, and come back.
And just leave a pot on the stove.
And then it should be done. True
or false? For one thing, snitches get stitches, number one. And the other thing is, yes, that did happen. I forgot. I left the boiling pot, and I've gone to pick up the boiling pot.
How old are you? You're the grown-up in this situation.
I know. I got home, and the thing's rattling away on the oven, like, on the stovetop.
Did you have the lid on?
Yes!
A lid on a pot of pasta.
On water. I was boiling the water to put the pasta in.
That can't
anyway.
Work well. Right. Don't you ever watch you watched MasterChef?
No, don't watch it. That's why I don't cook at home. And my wife, who's away, she runs the home. Don't worry. I am useless.
We're getting that impression.
Seriously, hopeless.
Wow. You know, this has got Indian restaurant written all over it.
I think I'm going to have to take it back to an Indian restaurant. Yeah.
Uber Eats written all over it for you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, cook something. It's so easy.
No.
Don't say that. Heat up a pan on a stove and put in.
Dave, would you like me to come around and move in for a while? Would you like
me? You should do. Well, I got the big bed and we can sit up there and watch Netflix.
You tell me, you've got a supermarket downstairs. Go and get a schnitzel and just put it in some oil and put it in the pan.
What do you mean he's got a supermarket
sounds
downstairs?
Downstairs from work. We live above a supermarket.
Oh, we do.
There's food coming out your ears.
Don't go to that one. You'll get shot.
You will get knifed down there.
Mate, there's some seriously ugly customers.
Wow.
It's the only one I know that's got armed security guards waiting to see.
I reckon there's a reality TV show in that supermarket.
Well,
you've put cameras down there.
I've seen an eye fillet scoot down the main street under someone's eye.
Really?
It's probably Dave trying to, got to do the shopping again, trying to get it home.
There's $25 worth. Wooshka.
Wow.
Dave,
what?
You are the reason we'll be doing Men Are Idiots because you're the first one in.
Guilty.
You've put the.
Congratulations.
She's home next, not this weekend, next weekend. So. I've only got a week and a half.
We'll have to hear about this. You're going to burn down the house in the meantime.
I hope not.
What's she coming home to?
It'll be a...
like a stump.
Shambles.
I'm going to have to cook extra. I bought her a new
entertainment unit, though. I put that together on the weekend. Nicked down to IKEA. Put that together, so it'll be a nice little surprise.
What are you doing?
What do you mean you made it for her? You made it for you as well.
Wow. For both of us.
Yeah, we've got like the 75-inch TV and the tempered bed.
Yep.
Oh, I'm on to you.
We do have a few idiots here. What would you just say?
But I've forgotten exactly.
Speaking
what
of men, are idiots.
It was going to be really good.
You haven't got Alzheimer's early onset, have you?
I'm not.
You feeling all right today?
Yeah, I am. Whoever you are. Hey, 133353, get involved.
All right. Men are idiots.
Men are idiots. Have you heard of any such instances? Give us a call.
We'll do it. Thanks to HSV and the new Series 2 HSV Sports Cat. Play hard.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy.
This is Kennedy Molloy, Jane Kennedy, Mick Molloy.
Personally, I think you're a idiot.
Most definitely inept.
You are big trouble.
He has set off a world of woe.
I hate beetroot.
You're blistering idiot!
Jane thinks that all men are idiots.
We have people that are stupid.
You idiot.
Men are idiots.
There it is.
All right, where do you want to start?
Men are idiots.
What are we doing?
There is a man who is in Spain. He's driving along and he's got a fridge. And he wanted to get rid of it, so he chucked it off the side of a cliff.
He stopped the car, he's opened the back doors, he's got the fridge out, and he's turfed a fridge off a cliff.
Someone's videoed it, and let's have a listen what happened.
Vamos reciclarla.
After some investigation, local police traced the fridge back to its owner, and not only was he fined $50,000, but he was ordered to drag the fridge right back up the ravine. Uh-huh. He threw it down.
I hope it had some cold drinks inside it, because you'll need those, lugging that fridge.
That is a hefty fine, don't you think?
$50,000? Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Wow. Respect to the Spanish authorities on littering.
Well, they've taken the long stick to him.
It's environmental crime.
You know, there was a guy when I was in Rio.
Right.
There's a guy.
Is this a story you can tell on air?
Yes.
Has nothing to do with the island of Mystique. No. But there's a guy in the favelas who's famous for, because obviously in the favelas you don't have any roads. There's no structure. Mm-hmm. So if you want to move house,
this is like the slum area.
It's the slums. Yeah. Right. You've got to actually carry all your furniture up. So there's a guy there who's famous for carrying everyone's fridges.
Right. God, what a terrible job.
Yeah, I know.
Well, imagine he that. Comes in handy, though. He's like the big sumo.
Really?
Big sumo Brazilian, and he's great. Anyway, so while I was there for the World Cup, I tracked him down, and I got him to carry me to my seat.
I did.
No, he carried me up the...
Nick, that's terrible. What are you talking about?
He carried me, piggybacked me, up the stairs into the arena, and then up the stairwells to my seat. And when I went to the toilet, he piggybacked me to the toilet. Yes.
Do you have any photographic evidence?
I did.
Of this?
I filmed it for a piece. So.
Oh my God!
Yes. No, that was it. And
what's heavier though? Do you think, like
the fridge or Mick?
depends which one of us is full at the time. So there it is. Not a bad call. Now you've got one I like.
The one about Kevin Rudd.
Kevin Rudd.
Oh,
Can I just say this?
There's trash talk, and there's trash talk. Yes. But if you're about to hear the nerdiest trash talk from
this is quite mystifying, but look.
He's obviously laying out a challenge for his handball.
Handball, which he thinks he's a very good player.
But have a listen to the quality of the trash talk.
Yeah, he's Kevin Rudd.
G'day, it's Kevin Rudd here, the global handball king. Well, sort of. Well, in fact, try hard. Guess what, guys? Come the end of August, having overcome the problems of my knee surgery, I'm re-entering the field. So any of you guys who are looking for a handball championship game, I'm available. Let my office know through direct message. In the meantime, if you want a handball signed by the global champion himself, send in a direct message as well. Be very good and get ready to die.
Taking a turn at the end.
Oh my God. Hey, first of all, if you're going to do that, you've got to own it, man. If you're going to just go, I put out a challenge, I think.
But if you've got to ask someone to engage you in trash talk, maybe don't direct message me.
Yeah, DM. Send me a DM.
So DM me and we'll work something out.
And then just a pleasant threat at the end to just finish off. I was trying to find out what Kevin 07's doing at the moment.
What?
He's now president of, and this sounds like a made-up name, but it's true. He is now president of Asia Policy Institute, a think tank focused on security, prosperity, and sustainability.
Okay, that's a tax dodge. and do they get to speak Mandarin?
I don't know, but
Mandarin.
I cannot get enough of Kevin speaking Mandarin. We might get some of that later. Hey, we've got some calls line. We'll go to those after the break.
Let's do that.
Men are idiots. 1-333-53.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
You can get involved with Men Are Idiots.
Men Are Idiots.
1-333-53, Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy.
Kevin Rudd has announced a return to handball.
We just played that and it was threatening. Mm. It was
menacing.
It was trash talk
because he's put out a challenge out there. But it's always good to hear him because we know he's fluent in Mandarin. Let's have a listen to his challenge.
胡主席先生，您在我们的国家是我们最尊敬的客人，希望你们能够休息一下。
He's just as charismatic.
Yes, I could listen to that all day.
Hey, that's that sweet talk. That's bedroom talk.
Give it to me, Kevin.
Sushi. Vicky.
We've got some good callers here. Hello, Vic.
Jane, Dave, hi.
Do you know an idiot?
Oh, man, yeah, I do. My ex-husband, sadly. Was a complete idiot. So I was on a sales conference up in far north Queensland, and I got a phone call from him. And he said, I won't mention my daughter's name, I have given Jane, let's call her, some, you know, the Vicks vapor rub that you put in Ventolin, like ventilizer things or whatever you call it?
Yes, the liquid. It's sort of eucalyptus oil.
It's a vaporizer.
He had given her a dose of that thinking it was her cough medicine.
Men are idiots.
And I'm in far north Queensland, and he said to me, what do I do? Holy crap. How about ring Poison's information and find out?
It's got trip to the hospital written all over it, that is.
It did. And she had a burnt esophagus.
Oh, my God.
4 years old.
What?
I can hear her crying in the background. What do I do?
Good story, Vicky. Thanks for the call. Lee.
That is crazy. Hello, Lee.
How you going, guys?
Are you the idiot?
Oh, full blown.
What'd you do?
Well, I was doing some painting on my wife's squirrels in the backyard, and it was cold morning, and the paint would stick. So I had the bright idea just to pop them into the oven.
Sorry, you put cans of spray paint in the oven, is that?
Yeah, two of them, cans.
Okay.
How'd that go for you, Lee?
I set the timer for 5 minutes and forgot about them. At 4 minutes and 20 seconds, I heard a massive explosion on the inside, and the old oven shot across the kitchen and there's red and black paint everywhere.
Oh, my God. Men are idiots.
This is like an art installation.
Lee.
This is a great way to...
Pro heart.
That's right.
The part that really upset the wife was I was using her display tea towels to clean it up.
We don't like that. Don't touch the display tea towels.
Right to the very end. Hey, Lee, I'd like to see you on MasterChef. Sign up for the next series if you could, please.
Yeah, as long as he pays me.
There you go.
Zinger. Thanks, Lee. Hello, Mark. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. Love your work.
Oh, thank you. This is a cooking idiot, you know.
Yes. Got up one Saturday morning. Unbeknown to me, mate's thrown a pot of eggs on the stove. Next thing he's telling me, a bike show in Brisbane. So we jumped on the bikes from Currumbin straight up to Brisbane. 5 hours later, we get back, and I kid you not, before he cracked the door, there was this smell, and he's clicked onto it, and he's just got thrown the F-bomb, and we went in, and it was putrid.
Really?
Did you eat the eggs?
Pot was, no, man, they were gone. Brown.
How'd the pot hold up?
Flat pot, brown eggs.
You're joking.
Men are idiots.
Definitely an idiot there.
Smell.
Oh, mate.
Again, see you on MasterChef.
Turning my stomach already. Thanks, Mark. Hey, g'day, Chris. Hey, Chris. Turn your radio down, mate.
Chris.
Hello, Chris.
Get out of Chris.
Let's go to Liz. Hi, Liz.
Hi, how you going?
Yeah, good. Hey, you know idiots? Is it yourself or your husband?
I marry one.
Yeah. How's that working out for you, Liz?
Oh, we're still married.
Yeah.
I made a casserole and had to go out, so I left a note, put it 180 for about half an hour and see how it goes.
Okay, that seems pretty straightforward, Liz.
Yeah, except I get a phone call saying, how do I know when it's 180 and it's smashed, it's glass,
Oh, the Pyrex smashed?
Yes, he put on the stove.
Oh, my God.
Men are idiots.
Where on earth is the 180 on a stove top?
Exactly.
Non-existent, okay. Idiot.
Cooking edition today.
Yeah. Yeah. It should be a real theme.
Can you move in with Dangerous Dave, Liz?
Please.
Help him out. He needs some help.
You don't cook casseroles on a stove top?
No.
Oh.
Hey.
No, casseroles go in the oven. It's
Helen.
An oven with oven mitts. Hello, thanks, Liz. G'day, Helen.
Hey, love, how you going?
Yeah, good. Tell us about an idiot you know.
Oh, my husband, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I'd been admitted to hospital quite suddenly, and I asked him to please go home and get me a nightie and some underwear so I didn't have to wear a hospital gown. The loving husband came back with a football jersey and my bikini bottom.
Men are idiots.
When I said, why bikini bottoms, he said, G-strings are inappropriate.
Wow. He obviously doesn't rummage around your drawers very much, Helen, does he? That's one
not
good
enough.
Thing, I suppose.
Can I just say, that's kind of turning me on. Footy top and bikini bottoms. That's like, jeez, Helen.
All right, thanks.
Can you send us a picture?
That's pretty funny. Let's go to Ross.
Yeah, hi guys. How are you?
Are you the idiot, Ross?
Yes, I'm a third income idiot.
Yeah, what happened?
So a couple of years ago, I was on the froffies in the afternoon, and I was thought I was pretty good and pretty hungry, so I thought I'd defrost some frozen potato wedges. And so I had two potato wedges in my left hand, kitchen knife in my right, went to go separate both wedges and slipped, and I've actually stabbed myself in the hand. It's gone all the way through.
Oh,
men are idiots.
You didn't have stitches, did you? Did you have to get stitches, Ross?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
For a couple of potato wedges?
I was actually off work for a week. I actually told him. I didn't want to tell my boss, but I had to tell him.
That's very
well
awesome.
Well done. Great story. Good on you, Ross. Well, what a great bunch of idiots today.
Oh, I'm so pleased. Don't worry. We'll get to women are idiots too. There's plenty of those around.
Equal opportunity.
Yep.
No discrimination on this program.
There's none.
Adam Shand, our crime reporter, is going to join us soon. Nanny State to come as well.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
Well, we love the little guy fights off the giant multinational corporation.
We do.
It's a great story. It's one where the little guy. We see it a lot in films. We see it
it's
a
like
lot
the castle.
In it's the, oh, well, yeah, it right. is in a way. It's yeah. It's a little man stands up for himself and his little patch.
Mm.
And in this instance, there's a small business owner who runs a chicken shop. It's called Chicken Central. He's got a couple of outlets in Melbourne, and he has taken on the Goliath, KFC, who they put up a billboard. Let's have a listen to how it was reported on A Current Affair.
Jim Halley is one unhappy rooster. He woke up to see the Colonel's smiling face telling his customers where to go. Up until recently, the billboard featured Clive Palmer.
A lot of the people came along and graffitied, so we asked the agent to remove it, and that was a week ago. And this morning we get up and there's KFC.
Do you think that's revenge?
Possibly. Well, I hope not.
There's a bit to unpack there.
There is.
I like the fact that Clive Palmer billboards get defaced.
Mm.
Well, we thought we should talk to that guy. I'm not going to call you a little guy, Jim, because I think, you know, you're a bit of a strapping, handsome young fellow. So there you go. Hello, Jim. How are you doing?
Tinder date.
Hi, Jane. Hi, Mick. How are you?
Hello, mate.
We're
how
good.
Are you? Now, congratulations, I believe, are in order as you've had the, correct me if I'm wrong, KFC has seen an opening on the side of your chicken shop and have plastered a big bastard billboard right on the side directing people around the corner to the new KFC outlet, correct?
Absolutely.
And where do we stand at the moment?
The sign is down. So
the sign is down. Power.
Wow, that's a great victory. That was from community support, wasn't it? Because the community was outraged. It was fair thing. I'm just looking at what the billboard said. KFC only, what did it say? The
only 80 metres, 300 metres around the corner.
Right. Well, like come that. On. Bucket, why not? Which is one of their catch phrases.
That's right. Yeah.
So tell me how you found out. So you just come to work one day and there it is, your own little chicken shop being used as a billboard for KFC.
Absolutely correct, Mick. It was a big surprise to us. It was Friday morning last week and I looked up and I thought, no, that's not right.
Yeah.
I bet you can believe it.
I didn't come here for this. Is one of my mates pranking me? Yes. What's happening?
Exactly. And I initially just thought, no, it's a joke somewhere along the way, but then I thought, no, this can't be right. We can't allow this to happen. So I got onto the, I'm probably allowed to say it, AW, and asked them to have a help me out in some way, shape, or form, and they broadcasted it that morning, and since then we've been absolutely inundated with media and people giving us the support that we need.
What about clients? What about people wanting to support you by buying your chicken?
Yeah, that's the main thing.
Mm. Well, the sales at the store have been pretty good. Absolutely very happy with the sales, put it that way. It's been an extraordinary response, so I can't complain from that point of view, so it was a bit of a win for us as well, so I'm not complaining for that.
So, I have to say, in case you're unaware, chicken is a special interest of mine. I'm hoping to one day marry a chicken heiress. And I do like attacking a bird every so often. And I like your story, because tell me this, as opposed to KFC, your chickens are free range, are they not?
That's correct.
Bang. So you're out in front anyway.
You're looking after the chooks.
That's something I ask about all the time, because that's going to be a far greater chicken in any event.
Now, and also, as a small business owner, you're doing it hard. You're putting in lots of work and effort. How does things like, is Uber Eats helpful for you at all?
Look, Uber Eats helps our brand awareness. From a monetary point of view, it's not a great help because they take their 35% cut. So that hurts us. But if you're not on it, you sort of get lost. And
yeah. So you're doing it hard enough anyway. Now, the response from KFC was they have taken it down.
Yes.
What was their sort of response? So they knew what they were doing, didn't they?
Well, I can't speak for them, but they did put out a press release or some sort of release saying there was no malice intended, and they took it down pretty much within 3 days or 4 days of going out.
And what's there now? Have you got a billboard up there now?
There is. It's soy candles.
I don't like that one either. Take that down. I'm going to get a campaign to have soy candles taken down.
Well, maybe we might try that next week.
All right. Now, what's your number one chicken dish on the menu?
Yeah, what can we get?
Our family pack, the whole chicken large chicken.
That'd be for Mick. Yes. We get one of those from Mickey.
Oh, that's rude.
Sorry.
Why would you say that?
You've just said how much you love your chicken.
Jeez,
you can get two for your clan there, Jane. You've got five kids or something.
Yeah, I have, Don't worry, we'd love that.
Dave's not cooking at the moment.
I need some soup.
We better get to Chicken Central.
Right. All right.
Hey, good on you, and congratulations on your win there, Jim.
Thank you so much.
People power.
There you go. Well done, everybody.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Bruce.
This is the world we live in.
Got some rules around here.
Are they joking?
You believe that you are special, that somehow the rules do not apply to you.
This is anarchy.
We should write letters.
Has the world gone mad?
Now what kind of a society is it that would allow such a thing?
Kennedy Malloy.
The rules have just changed.
Living in a nanny state.
You're always making things difficult.
133353. Any evidence of a nanny state where you live, give us a call. Let's get it out there. We're going to blow the lid off this. Today's edition is in honour, of course, of the great city of Sydney.
Mm.
It's the biggest city in Australia.
Yes.
It has an international acclaim. It's famous. You can. It's got landmarks.
It's a stunning city.
It's used in movies all the time.
Mm.
It's a drop-dead gorgeous landscape. But it is basically...
it's dead after dark.
It's dead after dark. It's dead as a dodo.
This is an old one,
but it's just raised its head because there's a big committee which will hold its public hearings on Monday with the Sydney Lord Mayor and some top flight musicians about their lockout laws, which have basically shut down the town after a certain time.
Mm.
I mean, you can't get a drink after a certain time in a city area,
which
the side effect of, I know people who live in outer suburbs, and the riffraff who's full as a gook just go out there.
Right,
And continue drinking, ruining what used
outside.
To be great suburban pubs. So let's weigh in. Here's the Sydney Lord Mayor, Clover, talking about it.
The lockout laws, whilst a circuit breaker at the time, have taken the oxygen out of Sydney's nighttime economy.
Hear, hear. Well said. And Melbourne is laughing all the way to the bank and international notoriety as a diverse, wonderful place to go late night and hang out. Now, also, and this is the thing, the whole thing was set up, the premise was that it will make Sydney safer and it will be
so the people aren't boozed and having fights and all that.
Not so, says Sally Cripps, who's a professor at Sydney Uni, who's run the data.
There was no change in the violence as a result of the lockout laws in the CBD. That's what we found.
Wow. There you go.
So there's a fair bit that's gone on for not much reward. Well, big meetings on Monday. You know where we, as Triple M, we love live music. We're a huge fan of live music. It's part of our DNA. And we think that Sydney, as one of the biggest and greatest cities in the world,
you go to any city in the world,
is looking silly.
Well, it's been suggested there's been a 50% drop in the number of venues dedicated to live music. In this country, that's just a disgrace.
No, this is one of our strong suits. You've shot yourself in the foot, Sydney.
Okay, well, that'll be
interesting. All good intentions, but you've got it. What else have we got? Do you want to go to Queensland?
Yeah.
Have you heard what's happening up there?
Well, it's Dob in a smoker. That's what happened. Queensland's health. Kay Pulsford said there should be a bigger penalty for smoking around kids and other people near bus stops, train stops, blah, 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 ferry terminals.
$266
on the spot fine if you light up a fag near.
But this is what I don't like. They are actively encouraging you to ring up.
I don't like dobbing in. I don't like that.
It's un-Australian. Ring up and go, yeah, I saw a guy, he did this. Do you know when they brought in a law saying no smoking on beaches in Victoria? I was unaware of the rule, but I was lying on a beach and a man walked 100 metres up the beach to tell me.
What a stupid man.
To tell me, he goes, you need to put that out.
Oh, my God.
His quality of life was unconcerned, was unaffected. It's got nothing to do with him. But because it was a law, all of a sudden he felt
he
had the right to interfere with my life. So, bugger off.
We can self-regulate. You know what? People have got a brain.
Don't
they're grown-ups. And if people want to smoke, they can smoke because that's their decision. It's their choice.
It's legal to smoke. What
is this dystopia we are in?
I don't know. Nuts. So Australians love complaining about nothing. What else? Queensland. Now, this is this one. Not Queensland.
Oh, in Perth?
Perth. We're over in Perth. The city of Coburn takes on food truck favourites to restrict unhealthy foods.
This is ridiculous.
A Perth council will dictate what food can be sold at its events under a Big Brother policy clamping down on festival favourites such as hot chips, meat pies and chocolate sprinkles on ice cream.
That's un-Australian. That is un-Australian.
That is rubbish.
How to deaden the mood. First of all, how cool is the food truck world?
Thank you, food trucks, for what you've brought to our food landscape.
I agree. Festivals, I love food trucks.
Cool and with great food.
And they're convenient. They're social.
It's fun.
They're always there.
Also, it's really good food.
It is.
Why are you assuming that food truck food's not any good?
I'll tell you, this is probably some kind of licensing arrangement.
Of course.
If you want to get the fast food license, you're going to have to pay.
There's a food handling fee to go with that.
No sprinkles on your ice cream. What's wrong with you all?
Not Ray on the line. Ray. You've got an evidence of some nanny state for us?
I have. Cricket Australia has just passed a law that all batsmen must wear a helmet.
Nanny state.
I don't want to wear a helmet.
It's
your choice, isn't it? If you want to get, knocked in the head, that's your decision. Well, but
if you're not a good enough batsman to hit the ball away from your head, then you shouldn't be playing the game.
Well, I don't mind this. I don't mind this at all. I know it's a bit contrary.
Well, you're a grown up. For kids,
For kids.
Yeah, I don't mind having my son with a helmet on when he's batting.
But I feel the same way about bike helmets. If you've got a kid with you, the kid should wear a bike helmet. You, who are old enough and stupid enough to make decisions on
your
behalf, knock yourself out.
Correct.
Literally. Give us a call. 133353. Nanny State.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Adam Shan, crime reporter, is going to join us in the second hour. Yes, this is Kennedy Malloy and Nanny State. You can get involved. 133353.
People fire up, Dave. They really fire up.
I understand it all.
It gets you angry, doesn't it?
It does. We've been through the lockout laws in New South Wales and the city in Sydney, and it's just devastating.
Dob
in a smoker.
Ban the food trucks in Perth.
Ban helmets.
Australia.
I mean, put helmets on people.
You used to have. Oh, by the way, with the cricket. So what happens if it's a spin from both ends?
Yeah.
If Cricket Australia says I have to wear a helmet and I have to bat, what if I had to go, you know what, it's a good day.
Yeah.
There's spin from both ends. I want to take my helmet off. No.
No.
Well, put your helmet on. It's a rule.
There's always one in a committee who comes up with these, is my theory, and they're annoying
people.
And
they get through because Australia has nothing bigger to worry about.
Yeah, and they're pussies, and they're all like PC aware. That's what's happening.
Yes, the tail is wagging the dog in this country.
We're sick of it.
Sick of it. Stu, what's got your goat, mate?
Mate, I got a fine in the mail one day from the body corporate Silverwood Estate in Yarrawonga for leaving my wheelie bin up the side of my house.
Nanny State.
Instead of where?
Instead of in the backyard where I couldn't get it because they put a hot water service in the way.
So. Are you saying that people didn't like seeing your wheelie bin?
Well, yeah, I mean, people had to be looking for it to be able to see it.
But you say, you mean by the, in the, by the side of the house but inside your fence?
Oh, well inside, so
so as an eyesore, you got to find.
We can see your wheelie bin from the street.
Get real.
To make it worse, though, you had to be looking for it to see it, and there was actually one of the residents in the estate was going around to houses taking photos of the front of their house.
Well, you got Mrs. Snitch. For the wheelie bin. Got a snitch on
this is
hands.
What happens when you ask people to dob other people in. You turn neighbour against neighbour.
Yeah, nasty.
Good what on a you, load Stu. Of we rubbish. We got a prize for Stu. That's really
we'll
nuts.
Get you two tickets to the Abbey Road live show, which is touring this August, featuring Spiderbait, and you got Davey Lane.
Oh, that's a good show,
UMI.
Stu.
Double for you.
That makes
Stu.
Me so angry.
And leave your bin out that night.
And of course, and of course, someone's making me. The council's got the money.
Oh, please.
On quick, go and see how much money you can rake up from the wheelie bin scam.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Nuts. Hey, James.
Get stuffed,
yeah,
everybody.
Let's go to Queensland and James. How you doing?
Hey, good guys, how you going?
Yeah, what's your complaint?
Mate, we live in one of the states with the most beautiful beaches in Australia and you can't get your kid off. It's illegal to go nude on beaches in Queensland.
Which state are you talking, Queensland?
Yeah.
Well, you're dead right. They are drop-dead
gorgeous
beaches.
But there's no nudie
beaches
in Queensland.
Really?
Surely we can carve out one nudie beach.
That doesn't seem right.
No.
They've got
legal one.
They can carve.
No legal one. Where do all the oldies go to hang out together and, you know.
Let it all hang out.
The grey nomads have got somewhere to go.
Sounds like you know your way around, James.
Especially private places or drive over the border to New South Wales. That's the only choices you got. Yeah,
you're pretty keen to get your kid off, aren't you, James?
Hey, mate,
I take your point. I think that's fair enough. If you want to go nudie up, and you should.
Sadly, the truth of nude beaches is you think everyone's going to be hot.
Yeah.
But it's everyone you don't want to see nude.
Correct.
Oh, look, another pot-bellied Westerner.
I stumbled across one once. Too.
Oh, did you?
Oh, sure. Yeah, you don't stumble across it.
Hey, Queensland.
Yes.
You get it right most of the time. Carve off a
plenty.
Beach for the nudies.
How many kilometres of coast have you got there?
Hey.
All right, let's go to Queensland again because we've got Jeff on the line. This is bizarre, Jeff. What's going on at a school you know?
It's at my son's private boys' school.
Yeah.
Inter-house school sports yesterday, but no javelin and no shot put because it's too dangerous.
Oh my God.
Oh,
you are joking.
Mate.
This is what
Seriously.
We pay lots of money for.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, no starters pistol soon. That might frighten the children.
You know what?
Oh, hang on, someone could drown in the pool. No swimming.
Yeah.
But we've managed to have it at the Olympics for years and no one's been killed.
But they're the oldest. They've been around since
Roman
the discus.
Times.
Have you ever looked? The
Greeks,
discus is the first event ever invented. You can't say, oh, no, we're over it now.
Jeff, that's ridiculous.
Jesus, Jeff.
Thank you.
Mad.
Have a word, mate.
Let's go to Michael. Hey, Michael.
Hey, how you going?
Yeah, you got told off the other day. What happened?
I got in trouble.
Why?
For parking too close to the shops with a fitness sticker on the back of the car.
Now, can you explain what you mean? A fitness sticker?
Well, a gym sticker on the back window, and the old lady pulled me up and said, "That's not a good look, is it?" And I'm like, "What?
You're getting a lucky car park?"
And she said, "You're too close to the shops. You should leave that for pensioners."
Oh, rack off, lady.
Older people. She said, only older people should have all these spots close to the shop.
Oh,
get a shopping jeep, you old bag.
Yes,
I'm 54. How old have you got to be?
Oh, that's funny.
I just can't punish him just because he's... Yeah. We'll try for one more. Wendy's on the line. Wendy, you're calling from Hobart. What's happening down there?
Well, apparently in Parliament today they were deciding as to whether they extend the age to buy tobacco in Hobart from 18 to 21.
Nanny
as
State.
Treat.
Okay, no one here's.
Why is that going to make a difference?
No one here's encouraging smoking, so let's get that straight. Yeah. It's a silly habit and don't do it.
Yeah, yeah.
However, it's sold legally. And at the age of 18, I believe you're allowed to go to Afghanistan and get shot in the face.
There you go.
If the government chooses.
You can vote.
But you can vote.
You can buy grog.
Here's the thing, 18-year-olds. Vote that government out who's tabled that document that says you can't have a cigarette.
I don't know what happened today, but that's what they want to do. They want to put it up to 21, and I don't know whether it got poo-pooed in the...
All right, we'll look that out. We'll get on to it and find out where that's
Wendy. So well done. So now there you go.
That's too many nanny state things.
Excuse me, guys. I'm going for a walk.
Yeah, okay, I know.
We
You're
need a bit
furious.
Of time. All right, well, Adam
Stupid
Chan.
Country.
He's going to join us next.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
Yeah, baby, and it's going to be a beauty. Now, I've been promising this for days, but we will get to Margot Robbie today and her jet ski antics.
We have, but we're going to make calls, don't you think?
We're going to take calls on. Yeah. Well, we'll discuss that. We'll alert people.
We sound a bit mysterious, don't we?
Down the track, Game of Thrones, I watched a beauty last night.
Oh, do you know, I've been quite excited because you haven't mentioned it for a few days, so you must have binge-watched, did you?
Yeah, I've had a go. It's a ripper. We'll take your calls, we'll take your tweets, but let's start at the top with this bloke.
In the new podcast series from crime reporter Adam Shand, In Plain Sight, Understate, he investigates the disappearance of one of Australia's most wanted fugitives, Jonathan Dick.
He'd left his wallet at home, he left his world behind him, and he walked away.
The series uncovers never-before-heard evidence relating to the brutal murder of Jonathan's brother David in 2017.
He lived behind the Doncaster shopping town, and he would cut through the car park to catch a bus to work. But when he emerged from the lift, he was confronted by a man wielding a samurai sword and a knife.
Here with updates on this case and all things true crime, please welcome back Adam Shand.
So what, you know, this guy with a samurai sword. Yes. I mean,
you had to please me.
I just got a bit of a chill pill. Speaking of chills, when I hear that music and I hear those crimes.
This is on the new podcast.
Awful.
It's going very well. What's the podcast called?
It's called In Plain Sight, Understate.
Do you have some information relating to that?
Well, I can't do a massive spoiler here, but the whole thing is, has he been hidden by somebody or is he living like an urban Rambo?
Do you think your podcast answers this question?
We do. We do.
Whoa, baby.
Can you give us any clues?
And everyone, he just told me, and I know it.
Yeah. Right. Oh, you know the answer.
Well,
yeah.
I know what's been going on.
And you will know if you tune in to the podcast.
I'm surprised I didn't have an eyewitness account from him. That'll make sense when you hear it.
But it's fascinating that. I mean, not fascinating. I mean,
it's... Hey, we'll get to local stuff in a minute. Yeah. Mm. This is a case we've been talking about here in off-air conversations. The whole office... He's got one eye on this when we see it bob up in the news. This is the Canadian serial killers who have gone missing in the bush. Can you paint the picture, give us the backstory about these blokes and the chances of them being caught?
Well, the Mounties always get their man.
So far, not so.
We have those two chaps, Cam McLeod, Briar Schmigelski.
Yes.
If I pronounce it correctly. They were suspects in the murder of a guy called Leonard Dyke. On July 19 in British Columbia, then 500 kilometres away, they are alleged to have murdered Australian Lucas Fowler and his girlfriend, China Deese.
That was heartbreaking vision to see the father of Lucas Fowler, who was a police officer himself.
Terrible.
That was just...
Senior police officer in New South Wales.
So they're on the run, so that they reckon they're on... There's a manhunt in play. They reckon they've got two blokes who have committed these crimes, and what happened?
Red hot suspects. Well, this is a 3,000 kilometre manhunt, and they're now in the little town of Gillam, Manitoba, where the latest is that they found a boat that was abandoned on the side of a river, which had some items which were definitely belonging to the two suspects.
So it linked them to the boat.
It does, and they were definitely there.
These boats,
and they also
by the
burnt
way,
their car. They burnt their second car.
They did
nearby.
These boats, they leave every so often up there. They're left on the side of the rivers, and they're kind of used as. If you go up into the Kimberley, sometimes you can take a boat down a river, and there'll be another one there. And another
right, so
in
it's
different
sort of...
chambers. So this is unusual. Now they've expressed some dismay that if they don't catch them soon, there'll be nothing to catch because of the wildlife in the area. There's polar bears, there's bears, there's. Oh, they said they could be eaten by bugs.
Oh, it's horrible. Yeah, so, you know, I'd be back in the polar bears right now because they seem to have at least a couple of days on the Mounties at the moment. They went into the river somewhere. They may have perished in the river. Yeah. But the thought is that they're in the
wilderness. What's their motive? When you're going around and now they're on the run, when you become a serial killer, what's the point?
What do they do?
Well, I think it's thrill kills, exactly. We don't really know the motive because it's the typical thing of like, oh, they were normal kids, you know? Normal kids.
How can be a thrill when people are not armed? It's like bounty hunters going out, you know?
If you watch that, if you ever seen that video, Grand Theft Auto, you'll see all that kind of stuff happening on your PC screen. I love a road trip.
I really
yeah,
do.
Perhaps
but,
not.
So do I.
I don't have to kill someone at a service station to enjoy myself.
Yeah, correct.
Just pop on some Springsteen.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's easier ways to do it, isn't there?
There is.
What is the outcome that you would tip?
What's the prognosis?
I think the polar bears are winning at the moment.
Do you really? I don't at all. I think these two are really well prepared, almost like scouts.
Doomsdayers.
Yeah, I think they've got it absolutely sorted.
How do you prepare yourself for a ravenous polar bear, Jane?
Well, they'll know where the polar bears are. I mean, Bear Grylls would have given that. I'd watch a few videos of that.
Seen him lately?
Out.
No, you haven't.
No, I haven't. That's true.
Polar bears grill. That's all right. they are smart and they've got a sense of smell. They'll hunt them for days.
They will. Absolutely.
Don't get downwind.
And I think that's...
Don't get upwind of a polar bear or you're cooked.
Because they have scaled back the search at the moment. And so I think they are thinking, these fellas are going to come out of the bush eventually.
For the people who've lost their loved ones, you always want to have resolution, don't you, on those things? So that won't be a good enough answer.
Let's hope they get to the bottom of it soon, or as we said, there'll be nothing to retrieve. Hang about. We're going to go local in a minute. You've got a massive story.
Breaking today, this morning.
Adam Shand's with us, by the way, the podcast, which is in plain sight, Understate. Podcast one, grab that. You can download it for free. More with Shandy right after this.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Adam Shand is with us. You want to grab the podcast in plain sight, Understate. Download for free on Podcast One. Kennedy Malloy.
A big news this morning in the state of Victoria. We say that a widow of Carl Williams, Roberta Williams, was arrested this morning after a series of raids across Melbourne. And it centred around a really fascinating case for me anyway about kidnapping and extortion. Are you aware of this, Adam?
I am, the alleged kidnapping.
Can you explain it to me? Because, yes, can you explain it to me? Because I'm unsure of how this all unfolded.
Well, Roberta decided she wanted to make a reality show about her life with her daughter Dakota, who's 18 or 19 now.
Yep.
And
because they do this overseas, it's Mafia Wives.
Well, this is like Mob Wives meets the Kardashians, and I think, you know.
I've listened to some of the old television telephone intercepts from the old days, and it sounds like the Jerry Springer show. I don't think I could watch it for more than 5 minutes.
You mean in their household?
Sounds like fun to me.
You mean in this household?
Back in the day, Carl and Roberta, you know, they're organising murders.
What a shame. That would be a reality show.
Wow.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Anyway, so they were trying to raise $50,000.
Yes.
They raised the princely sum of
$800. Yeah.
So things weren't going that well.
No.
I
wouldn't have thought so. What happened?
Anyway, so they had a producer, I'll use that in inverted commas, who said, I'll help
use
you raise
money.
Use
the word alleged again.
We'll use it heavily in this segment.
Alleged, everything. Yeah. So anyway, they were going along nicely and he said, come over for a celebration, apparently. And when he got there, he was allegedly tied up and extorted and allegedly handed over some sum of money and was brutalised and so forth. And I guess the perpetrators didn't think he would go to the police, but he did, and he's made these allegations.
And why would they think he wouldn't go to the police?
Well, because they normally the squareheads don't do that. The squareheads do
what's
that.
What's a squarehead?
A squarehead is somebody.
Civilians.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. So the squareheads always go to the police. The crooks don't.
Okay.
Right. So this
keep
guy had
wraps.
A background of fraud. He has some convictions for fraud, and so they thought he wouldn't. I guess, but he did.
Does that put a question mark over his events? His version of events. If the guy already has it.
Well, the fact that they've arrested Roberta today must give them cause to have some concern about the case. Can we just play a little bit because Roberta hasn't lost her touch, and this is why probably it would be a good series. She's just got away with words. This is a reporter asking her how things are going this morning.
Roberta, what do you know about that incident in Collingwood last month? Off you.
Right.
Bring it on.
We couldn't quite play all that.
Do you know what? I've always said I would watch a reality show based around anyone who's worn a beanie to court. And there's footage that exists that back my stance. So this is fascinating. So where to now with this case?
Well,
because they're never far from the news, this family.
She has a case to answer. and she has a right to put her defence.
Yep.
And she says she wasn't there, that it never happened. This guy's made the whole thing up.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of this will come down, I guess, to the physical evidence. There are text messages, there are phone calls. I guess they'll ping mobile phones on towers and things to work out where people were.
This is not a fair fight anymore with mobile phones. Like, law and order. Now you ping it off a mobile tower. Oh, we've got DNA. Imagine before DNA. Yeah. Before DNA.
I mean, the good old days.
You know what you had at your disposal? A microscope.
Sherlock Stone style
microscope and maybe a fingerprint.
Well, but
and good luck teeing that all up and then your stupid computer systems.
Well, these things can be tricked up. If I was going to frame you, Mick, I would steal your mobile phone and take it to the crime scene and maybe take your cup as well and put some DNA there.
So
and
that, you
and
stole my mobile phone.
That's it.
DNA, that's good. You know, if a woman suddenly comes up to you, Mick, and with a pair of scissors and takes some of your hair, I'd be worried.
Again.
Hey, can I just tell you about Roberta's show and Dakota? Please. I would watch that.
Of course you would. I would too.
I would honestly. I mean, she's got something in, and if she wants to put in the hard work, I think they have to go through proper channels. I'm thinking.
Sorry to disappoint you. I don't think it's going to see the light of day.
Really?
Unless we can somehow get a camera into the remand centre where she'll be spending a bit of time.
Allegedly. Can you, just before we go, an update, Lawyer X update, since we talked to you last, has there been any major bombshells in this department?
Well, we're still working on a story that looks at her involvement with the individuals in the Mockbell gang.
You know,
and I think the special on Sky News recently went into this a little bit, but really you're looking at someone who's not just a lawyer, not just a dobber. She's actually part of the group. She's part of the gang, in my view.
I think
we have to get closer to those truths before we really know the extent of this story.
She's a Genazzano girl, which is Jane's old school.
Yeah. That's true. We're very proud.
One of Jane's alumni.
Yep. Well, you can always be proud and know she's taken a diverse road in the law.
Right.
You could say. And I think stand by because it is going to be a reality.
I see you more as a Judy Moran style.
No, I'm not a Judy Moran style. But they are going to make a miniseries or a movie out of it. That lock that in, and I'm still curious to know who would play Lawyer X.
You're pointing yourself.
Still putting my hand up.
You
can do this.
You can do this.
You should.
I know you can.
Why not?
It's a bit of a blonde wig and I'll be right.
Yeah. You know what? You can do Roberta as well.
I could do Roberta. I'd love to do that.
You can do them all. You can do your own Underbelly series playing all the women of crime.
That would be a joy.
We could do Tony Mockbell. You could.
I would.
You could. You could do Carl Williams. You could do them all.
I'd do Carl Williams. I might have to lose a bit of weight. Hey, thanks, Shand.
No worries.
You're all right. And I don't care what everyone else says. Do you ever worry about yourself?
Don't say that. Don't end on that note.
There might be someone out the front.
Why would you say that?
Because I've got a bad feeling.
Well, in plain sight, understate.
Mostly the problem is when you get people's names wrong. I think they do like being exposed.
Oh, right.
They do.
We'll remember that.
In plain sight, understate, available from Podcast One. Kennedy Malloy.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Hey, here we go. So there's a big movie coming out. It's called Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
You're really looking forward to seeing it.
Well, I love Tarantino movies. I just think he is one of the modern greats.
Yeah.
His movies are just awesome. Kill Bill, I wish that had been released as one film, because if you got to see it all at once, that would be considered his masterpiece, I reckon. And I like them all. I like them all.
And the soundtracks that go with it.
The soundtracks.
I like the music.
He's genius.
You're not a fan of him personally, are you? But I don't know what your beef is there.
It's just a chick thing.
It's just a chick thing.
Yep.
Rubs you the wrong way.
Yeah.
However, his movies are top. Sorry. His movies are top shelf, and I look forward to this. This is like an event. Mm. Him, the Coen brothers, and Paul... What's his name?
Paul Thomas Anderson.
To me, the ranking heavyweights of the business. So anyway, Margot Robbie's in this film. They're out there.
She's
promoting
great. So Margot
she's fantastic. What a great story. What's she? A Queensland chick.
Yeah.
Made
good.
Was done some Neighbours. Acting in Neighbours.
But also had this drive, had this vision from the age of about 14, 15, what her path was.
She's brilliant.
Yeah. Knew what she wanted.
Seems pretty unaffected.
Yeah.
Hanging out with the genuine A-listers. And anyway, good luck to her. Anyway, she's doing the endless press rounds, blah, blah. It's come up, and somehow someone said to her.
It was the Sun newspaper said.
What was it?
On the weirdest place you've ever made love.
Mm.
So the poor thing's obliged to answer, I suppose. But I like
the weirdest place you've ever had sex. So, which I did point out the other day was the air. Can I do it? That was a woman that was on a game show, and it was one of those ones.
Oh, no, you're going to say it again.
Yeah,
no,
don't. Where's the weirdest place you've had sex?
Really? Are you going to beat this?
She goes, in the anus.
All right. Okay.
Said it again.
Why do you?
That's funny.
That is very funny.
Come on.
That is very funny.
Anyway, Margot was asked the same question.
Margot was the same question. She said, on a jet ski, on a non-moving jet ski, but in the water.
Right.
Which is pretty raunchy. Now, what
I
she
like it. It paints a pretty good picture.
It does. Yeah. Because she's pretty hot. She didn't, however, say whether it was with her husband.
Does it matter?
She's been married for 3 years to British director Tom Ackerley. But it's just that
mental. Well, here's a question. Does, what's his name?
Tom.
Does Tom have a jet ski? If not, I'd say he'd be a little bit grumpy right now.
A British director. I'm not putting a British man and a jet ski together. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't fit the profile to me.
Okay, here we go. Now, what about this? Mm. So when I heard this story,
yeah.
I immediately went to the jet ski. Because here's, I've got this in my head that if I, jet ski's a tell to me. Mm. And if I ever have to write a character in a film, right, that I want people to know as a bogan and do it really quickly, I'll just put a jet ski on the back of a ute in their driveway.
Okay.
Bang, job done. That's all you need to know about that character. Because that's... I put it to you, if you own a jet ski, you're a bogan. Now, Eddie McGuire, a friend of ours, will go...
He's got a couple.
He'll go hard on this.
Yeah.
We've had a couple We've had a couple of blowups.
But he's a bogan.
He's a... Well...
He is.
He's a broady boy.
Yeah, you take...
The jet ski is the broady
Peel
part.
Away the suit. He's a bogan.
So you don't own a jet ski, Mick?
No, I don't.
I would love to. I'm a bit of a bogan, though.
Oh, we all are.
You know.
What is it? Like the thrill of nearly killing people while they go about their business?
They're very dangerous. Bathe. You know what I think
if
it is?
If I got one, I'd only use it inside the flags.
Wow, you live on the edge, don't you? Yeah, this is a guy that loves Quentin Tarantino movies, and he'd be going put, 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 put on his
No, no, no. I think you've misread. I'm going to go berserk inside
I'm sorry. I have misread.
Oh, Jane, you should start coming to the meetings. but well, here's the question. How can you tell a bogan? Look, in a snapshot, like that. If I saw in your driveway a jet ski, I'd see a bogan. Have you got a...
Ugg boots, you were saying. Remember you said, well, you'd wear Ugg boots outside the house.
You wear Ugg boots
and
outside
the
house.
And I do. So
you're a bogan.
Of course I am.
So if I wanted to show that in a movie that you're a bogan, that's exactly what I would do.
You will
do.
See me with my Ugg boots on every morning, taking the kids to school or going up the shops. They're comfy.
In public. And what, are you pushing a pram and got a Bacardi Breezer in one hand, which you're drinking from the bottle?
No.
Because that would do it.
That would do it. No, I'm just...
Wearing a beanie to court.
There you go.
I put it to you.
Are you saying you know you're a bogan when?
You know you're a bogan when.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
This is in honour of Margot Robbie, who revealed she's had sex on a jet ski.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's you're saying bogan. If you ride or own a jet ski, you're a bogan.
And we want other telling or tips that you may be in
and
bogan.
And you've said if you wear Ugg boots outside the house, you're a bogan, which I do. So
correct.
Self-confessed, out and proud bogan.
Here we go. Al.
Yes, mate.
Al, what's the evidence of bogan behaviour? You know the person's a bogan when what?
You got a shopping trolley in your front yard.
Yes.
So
you've
walked the shopping trolley.
Yeah.
You've walked the shopping trolley all
home.
The way home. It's probably only ever had like beer in it.
Yeah.
You can't be fagged returning it. And it just hangs there.
I pass a house. It's got about four of them in it, and they live about 30 seconds from a supermarket.
That's right. Okay. Hey, that's a good one.
I like it, Al. You got the ball rolling.
Hey, let's go to Troy. Troy, you know you're a bogan when?
You go to court in a pair of Jack Daniels tracksuit pants.
Do they really make them?
Okay, now, Troy, who are we talking about here?
No, not me. But I do have a mate that's done it for a few years.
Okay.
He fought the law in his tracky pants. And
you have success in the end. He's all right.
Oh, he had to pay the fines. But,
hey, Troy, did he have to pull his tracksuit top over his head going in or out of court?
No, he didn't want his face pixelated. He was just happy with the trackies on.
Mate, oh, that's great.
I've got to pay that. Yeah. Jack Daniel's tracksuit pants to court.
Mm. I don't even know where you buy them, but I like it. Maybe it's like something you get in a freebie or a giveaway from Jack Daniels when you buy a lot. Hey, okay,
that's
thanks,
like lingerie for a bogan.
I'm sure it is. Annalisa, you know you're a bogan when...
When you put the Buddha statues that you bought in Bali in your garden.
Righto.
That's true, because you've got to get something. Well, of course, you know you're bogan when you go to Bali, for a start.
Yeah. So tick that box.
So tick. And then you get...
But do you pick it out over there? Or you think you're there and you think, oh, yeah, that'd be lovely. That'd be really
close. You're so right, because they have those tours you can go to where there's just a whole heap of these Buddha statues.
Right.
They weigh a ton. They cost a fortune to bring back. You
Who's
have to pay
to make
duty
a Buddha?
On them. Heaps of people bring back Buddhas, don't they, Annalisa?
I model
they
for
do.
Those.
They do. I'm guilty.
You've got one. Oh, yeah. Out and proud.
All right, well done. Thank you, Annalise. Kane's on the line. Kane, you know you're a bogan when?
You know you're a bogan when you've got a Southern Cross tattoo or you've got a Southern Cross sticker on your car.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now we see a bit of this. I believe that's true. The Southern Cross tattoo, which is an iconic, it's on the Australian flag.
Yeah.
It goes to a bit of Australian
It's patriotic.
Stuff. It's patriotic. It can end up tipping over a bit into
some.
What do we call
it? Some push the envelope a little bit too much with it sometimes.
It's up there with the Made in Australia sticker.
Yeah. But in its purest
a tattoo
form,
you
in
put
its
on yourself.
Purest form, it's yeah. It's pretty.
It's a tribute
bogan.
To the great land.
It is. Thanks, Kane. Good one. Let's go to Drew. Drew, you know you're a bogan when what?
Oh, surely when you walk up to the server and you find you put your shorts and some tigers and a commie.
All right, didn't hear a word of that. Can you start again, please, Drew?
Sure, you'd have to be when you're wearing a flanny with some footy shorts and
the luggage. Okay, now...
Flanny and footy shorts is our national costume.
Yeah. It is unnatural.
I don't see that there's anything wrong with...
Well, Knowlesy wears that all the time, doesn't he? Your flannel footy shorts.
Well, you know you're a bogan when you're Knowlesy.
When you're Knowlesy. Hey, what's pluggers?
That's thongs.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
You get your double pluggers.
You didn't know. Did you know?
You don't see those in France when you're shopping in Paris with your strawberry.
Wow. Pardon me, your majesties. Pluggers?
Yeah, you're double pluggers.
There's no $10,000 handbags.
Oh, God.
Down the bogan.
You know, you're bogans.
I am.
Okay, here we go. Actually, I'm going to go to Pete.
All right. Where's Pete?
Pete's in Tassie. How do you know you're a bogan, Pete?
When you wear your pajamas to Kmart or the bottle shop.
That's a good one.
I've seen them in there pretty late in their pajamas, both in Kmart and the bottle shop.
Good call. Thank you. Right, Mick, I think we've got time for Mick, haven't we?
Yeah. Hey, Mick, you know you're a bogan when?
When you're flicking through your picture magazine and one of your ex-girlfriends is in Bloomberg.
She's a homegirl, is she?
Oh, Mick. That's a ripper. Well done. Well done, mate. Have we got a prize for Mick?
Prize pack coming your way. All sorts of goodies from the Kennedy Malloy.
So keep them coming. We'll keep taking your calls.
This.
I'm enjoying
this
a lot.
You know you're a bogan when.
Seem to have hit a nerve here on Triple M.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
In honour of Margot Robbie, Australia's own. We're very proud
of her. We
salute
you, Margot.
And I couldn't be even more proud when she admitted during an interview that she'd had sex on the back of a jet ski. Just it ticks so many boxes for me.
It does.
But also, it's a tick to bogan behaviour because the jet ski is, well, it's a cherished prize of bogan culture.
Mm. And it's just the, you know, it breaks the serenity of the...
it ruins it for everybody. You know, I love it.
They're pretty noisy.
It's got an engine. You can drive it fast.
Yeah.
You can pan it. Yeah. And it got us thinking, you know you're a bogan when. What's the tick-offs? What's the telltale signs? Lachlan's on the line. You know you're a bogan when. What, Lachlan?
Well, speaking of engines, you can sit down for 7 hours, drink and tinnies, watch them batter.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Call me a bogan.
Yeah. Me too, because that is so bogan
the arse groove on my couch.
Well done, Lachlan.
It needs a pit stop.
It does?
When I go to the toilet, 7 guys rush in and start fluffing the pillows on my couch.
That's a good image, actually.
Good on you, Lachlan. That's the way.
Let's go to Jackie. G'day, Jackie. You know you're a bogan when...
You've got a Sunday flannel in your wardrobe. Sunday best.
Oh, a Sunday best.
A flanno for special occasions.
Well, yes, I know what you mean. So you've got your everyday flanno, but then there's one that's just slightly different, maybe a bit more expensive than the others, you know, $10.
And you can even upgrade it
for funerals. Can I tell you this? I've got show flannies.
Show flannies. Oh, yeah, for
so
front bar.
So there's ones I'll wear on the front bar, and there's ones I go, well, this is one of my favourites, but I think I'm pushing it here.
Oh, really?
I might get a letter from Channel 7 over this one. But I get the difference. You've got your good flannies, you've got your going out flannies, you've got your lingerie flannies.
Sure.
You've got,
there is such a thing.
You've got the ones that look great on your partner.
Oh.
In the morning when she's cooking your pancakes.
Go on.
Yep.
Hello. Okay, thanks, Jackie. Let's go to Tanya.
Hi, guys. How you going?
Yeah, good. You know your bogan when?
When you take your fave stubby holder to the pub so you can put your skewies in it.
Okay. Oh
God, is that you, Tanya? What have you got? What's on your favourite? What's your favourite stubby holder, mate?
Oh, I've got this tattered old one that I got at a Keith Urban concert about 10 years ago. Bottoms out of it. But
you have got a Keith Urban stubby holder.
Well done, Tanya. What's your local pub? Give it a plug.
Carrier's Arms in Maryborough, Queensland.
Ah, the Carrier's Arms. I will see you there. Front bar, no doubt.
Absolutely.
Yeah, good for you.
We'll have a schooner. Well
Keith
done,
Urban's
Tanya.
Like a bogan dream,
I like Tanya.
Isn't he?
That's dirty talk.
You're going to meet Tanya up in that bar, aren't you, very soon?
Right.
Okay, Dan. You know your bogan when, Dan?
When you got more cars in the yard of your house than people that live in it.
That's very true.
Oh, God, that's funny.
This is fantastic. Well done. I like it, Dan.
Yes.
That's a good call. Harry.
Yeah.
Yes, mate. You know you're a bogan when?
You got tattooed thongs on your feet, mate.
What the hell?
I've never seen that, Harry, but you have.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, I've done that. Yeah, I did that.
You've done
up
it?
Up in Cairns. Yeah, I did it up in Cairns.
Harry.
And instead of having, your haciendas or something down the side, I put my own name down the side of them.
Just so you don't forget, all right?
So listen to me about this. So you tattooed... You've tattooed thongs onto your feet.
Fantastic.
Is that so you can avoid the no shirt, no shoes, no service policy? So people go, oh, look, he's come prepared.
He's got thongs on.
But you're not.
Correct.
You've got no shoes on. Well done, Harry.
No shoes on. Beautiful.
He's the first person I've ever heard in my life to tattoo a thong on his foot.
Matt's got a good one. Matt, you know your bogan when?
You got an indoor lounge on your front porch.
Yes.
Why is that? I still don't get it. I see it all the time around here where I live.
I love it, Matt. Well done. Time for one more.
Yep.
Steve, you know you're a bogan when?
Your 9-year-old daughter called you mate.
Oh, Steve, I feel your pain.
Oh, man.
No daddy coming your way, is it?
Nice on you. Night, mate.
Good on you, mate.
Good price pack
good
there,
calls.
Steve. Too.
Well done, Australia.
Thank you for listening.
Very proud right now.
This is Kennedy Malone.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Just about done for the day, thanks to the HSV Series 2 Sports Cat. You can find your dealer at hsv.com.au.
I was wondering when you'd get round to this, David.
I know.
I've been waiting. Because
I have too,
my
all
favourite
day.
Time of the day is talking about the Sports Cat.
Yeah. Let me get out my beautiful brochure. Ooh, hello.
Do you know what? Go hard or go home.
I beg your pardon?
We don't want anyone coming around the showcase just to look. You're either in or you're out. Make no mistakes. Have you got what it takes to own the Sports Cat?
It sets you apart from everybody else you know. Now, if you've just gone...
Well, you're the king.
Yeah. You are the king.
You are the king. You are the behemoth. You are the ranking heavyweight on the road.
And if you love the HSV, because people are so passionate about the HSV, Mick.
Well, if
they don't have one. They keep moving. They change all the time. So if you're considering it,
HSV
you can't go
is
past
the
Sports
go.
Cat.
Oh, man. Do you know what?
What?
They talk about the bonnet bulge.
Oh, yes.
I've got the bonnet bulge right now. Right now.
Okay.
Just thinking about the
Sports
Cat.
Oh, I'm going to look the other way.
I am pitching a
saying pitching.
We get the idea.
Don't say pitching.
A large tent.
We understand what you're saying.
There's like a 3-ring circus down there.
Did we discuss this?
Just thinking about
the people from HSV.
Guess what you mean. Yeah.
Because it's guys want to be it.
Yeah.
It's just you're at one. You know what? You own the world and everything in it.
You do.
If you're behind the wheel of the Series 2 Sports Cat,
yes.
You own the world and everything in it. Rudyard Kipling.
Thank you so much for that. Hey, it's also got the HSV branding on it, so no one will miss.
People know you're heavy, duty.
They know. Thanks for your calls today for,
Absolute red for me. Summit White for you.
Done.
These
sold.
Are cars.
Let's get on the road. Let's hit the road, baby.
Merrick Watts tomorrow. See you then. Kennedy Malloy.
Another premium selection of Kennedy Malloy. For a premium sports 4x4 range, check out the new Series 2 HSV Sports Cat with sports suspension, anti-roll bar and AP racing brakes. Play hard.